Every day I write a post on Facebook, and I've been doing that now for almost 8 years. In fact, I think it's a little over 3 years that I have not missed a day in doing that. About 3 or 4 years ago, I wrote a post, and I forget the title of it, but I remember the information that was in there, noting that our society has greatly changed, and not for the better, since the time that I was a child. Now, I've not been living that long. I was born in 1959, but I do remember growing up in Memphis, and I remember how things were, and I have seen changes, and the changes that have happened have not been for the good. They have been for the better. Or not for the good, but for the worse. And one of the reasons I remember this particular post is because there was a man who immediately comes back and replies to that post. And he's angry with me. And he notes that things are better and things aren't worse and things aren't like you said. And folks, as far as I'm concerned, society has greatly changed. And what I find interesting is that most individuals that I talk to, especially older individuals who remember the way things used to be, they would agree with me that society has deteriorated, that society is not rising but is going downward, and going downward very, very quickly. The title of our lesson tonight very simply is this: What's Going Wrong? I had intended this to be just one lesson, but there's so much information that it's going to have to be two lessons. In this particular lesson, we're going to talk about three of the symptoms that show that our society is not where it used to be. At the very conclusion of our lesson, we'll talk about some of the real problems, some of the causes of these symptoms in our society. But let's look at three of these symptoms that show that society is not progressing upward, it is not getting better, but rather it is very quickly deteriorating. The first symptom is what I refer to as disrespect. Disrespect can be defined as lack of courtesy, rudeness, contempt, disregard, and irreverence. When I look at our society and you see this thing called disrespect, it's not just in one little area of society. It's not just a child being a little bit disrespectful of a parent when that child is in his teen years. But rather, disrespect seems to be running throughout the entirety of our society and in almost every area of our lives. Let's look at just a few of them. Folks, there is today a disrespect for life in general, isn't there? We're going to be looking at some of the headlines in these other points, but I didn't use a headline because I believe there's just one word that we can throw upon the board that shows that our society has a great disdain and disrespect for life. And the word very simply is this: abortion. My friends, we kill millions upon millions upon millions of little babies in their mother's womb on a regular basis. It is almost as if there is no thought about life whatsoever. A woman believes that she is getting rid of a problem. This is something that she doesn't have to worry about, and doctors do it, thinking that they are doing nothing more than assisting a woman with a medical problem. And we as the public allow it to go on, and there is hardly any uprising whatsoever. There are hardly any screams whatsoever about the taking of human life. Are we all guilty of disrespect for life? We also find that there is a great disrespect today for parents. One of the headlines that I found was this: the rise of violent little emperors. I love that title. Parents laugh and grandparents laugh because they've seen these little emperors, haven't you? Maybe they're in your family. Maybe you've seen one or two at Walmart. You see, children think that everything should be catered to them. Everything revolves around them. We are the very center of life. And if mom and dad don't cater to me, don't fulfill my needs, then guess what? I'll pitch a fit. I'll scream, I'll holler, I'll call you names. I'll do whatever I need to do in order to get what I want. Violent little emperors who disrespect mom and dad. We also find that there's a great disrespect for teachers in our society. Another headline said this, "Climate of disrespect for teachers gets worse." I don't think that I could be a teacher in a public school today. It'd be very difficult, you know that? Because of the disrespect that is there. And it's not just the disrespect of students for the teacher. There is also a great disregard and disrespect by parents for teachers. And they will stick up for their child even though the child has done horrible things in class. We find also that there is a disrespect for the elderly in our society. Another headline read this, "A booming problem. Alzheimer's, dementia, and elder abuse." You see, Alzheimer's and dementia make it very difficult to deal with those individuals who are elderly, doesn't it? And sometimes younger individuals don't know how to handle it. They don't know how to deal with it. And oftentimes it involves abuse of their loved ones because they don't know how to deal with those situations. There is a disrespect. Maybe they just place them in a particular facility and forget all about them. A total disregard for the elderly of our society. How about this one? Our law officers. Another headline read this, "Lack of respect, blame for increased violence against law enforcement, experts say." And my friends, there is also just a disrespect for our fellow man in general. I love this headline. Respect for others is nearing extinction. You see, even just our fellow man, people that are just common, everyday Joes in our society, just like us, there is a disregard and a disrespect for one another. And then, how about this? A disrespect for God. The Humanist Manifesto was written many years ago, and here's one of the statements that's found therein. As non-theists, we begin with humans, not God. Nature, not deity. No deity will save us. We must save ourselves. That kind of a statement is a contemptuous statement against the Almighty, folks. Just a total disdain for the Almighty God of heaven. Note that in almost every sphere of our lives, whether it's life, whether it's God, or whether it's just everyday dealings with our fellow man, there is a disrespect in the United States of America, isn't there? My friends, it flies in the face of God, and it flies in the face of God's holy and divine Scripture. For you see, if there is anything taught in the Bible, it is that you and I are to have respect for other individuals. Take, for instance, Leviticus 19:32. There the Bible says this, "Rise up for the hoary head and honor the face of the old man." The Bible plainly teaches that there is to be a deep respect by the younger for those who are elderly. Another passage of Scripture, Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. The Bible says this, "Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God hath commanded you." You see, God expects children not to defy, not to be blatantly defiant and disrespectful of parents, but rather show honor to their mother and their father. Romans 12, verse 10. The Bible says, "Be ye kindly affectioned one toward another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another." Here he's talking about members of the body of Christ. Folks, we are to honor and respect one another as Christians in the body of Christ. 1 Timothy 5:3, "Honor them that are widows indeed, Just a few verses later, 1 Timothy 5, verse 17, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in word and doctrine. And notice what Peter says in 1 Peter 2, verse 17. He writes, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Three times in one verse, an inspired man of God exhorts us to give honor to others. Honor all men, that's everyone. Fear God. Folks, that's giving honor and awe and respect to God. And notice that last one. Honor the king. I find it interesting that in our society we've been taught this. I will respect you if you earn my respect. Haven't you heard that? We kind of phrase it maybe a little differently. We phrase it like this. Respect is something that is earned. It's not what the Bible teaches. You know what the Bible teaches? Respect is something that is commanded. And it is commanded of certain people about certain other people. Folks, disrespect usually begins with feelings and words. That's where it begins, doesn't it? And I'm amazed that you pull up on Facebook and you read the posts of various individuals and what they have to say about other people and how they say it. You can feel the feelings and you can hear the words. And they're so disrespectful, so contemptuous, so rude toward other individuals. But the problem is this, it usually doesn't stop with words and feelings, does it? Usually it turns into this, disobedience and rebellion. That's what it turns into. If there is no respect for authority, if there is no respect for hierarchy, if there is no respect for fellow man, if there is no respect for life, folks, there will be anarchy in our nation. And every day, we can turn on the television, and the very minute one or two people get offended, what happens? Not only are there words and feelings, but there's also disobedience and rebellion, oftentimes ending in the taking of human life and the destruction of property. Disrespect in our society. Point number two. Desensitization. That's another problem that we have in society. Desensitization is defined as follows. A mitigation of a person's emotional response to distressing stimuli or a lessening the force of something that is unpleasant. In other words, something that is bad, something that is vile, something that is corrupt, something that is evil, something that is just horrible. Rather than looking on it with utter disgust, rather than viewing it as an abomination, rather than seeing the evil that is truly there, we've been desensitized and our feelings toward it are much less than what they really ought to be. And guys, I can just show you area after area after area wherein that is the problem. We talked just a moment ago about abortion. Folks, that is the murder of unborn children. I want you to go sometime, and all I want you to do is just study some of the ways in which doctors abort babies in a mother's womb. It is gruesome. If it were done outside the womb, guess what? There would be a cry that could never be stopped until that practice ended. Cutting individuals in pieces? Can you imagine? Taking a suction and just sucking them apart? Poisoning them with salt? bringing an entire little body out of the womb and severing the spinal cord right at the top of the neck. Folks, let me tell you something. That's gruesome, violent practice. And yet we've been desensitized to it, haven't we? Well, got a lot of abortion going on. And then we go home and we eat our meal, don't we? How about this one? The murder of innocent people on our streets. In some of our large cities, there are many deaths every weekend, aren't there? We hear about them over and over and over. Folks, I'm not talking about gang members shooting gang members. That's bad enough, isn't it? But we're talking about innocent individuals who are scared to death to come out of their own homes. And if they are in their homes, they may be killed therein. Little babies are killed. Older women are killed. Older men are killed. All because of the violence that fills our streets. And yet, what is really being said or done to address those situations? You see, we hear about it all the time. We read about it all the time. And we are somewhat desensitized to it, aren't we? The list just keeps going. Vulgar language. Seems like there is no stopping a vulgar language in our movies today. Here's one that interests me, adultery. I know when I was growing up, adultery was a horrible thing if it happened in a family. If a man or a woman went out and committed adultery with another individual, boy, that was something that was, shh, don't talk about that. Keep that quiet. That is horrible. And the individual that committed adultery, that individual was a horrible individual, weren't they? We don't even think about adultery today. Divorce and remarriage, divorce and remarriage, divorce and remarriage. We don't even think about it. Because you see, we have such bigger problems, don't we? So many other issues of a sexual nature. We're finding too that homosexuality and lesbianism is beginning to be desensitized more and more and more. There's not hardly a television show that you can watch that doesn't have some adultery. Some homosexuality or lesbianism therein. We've been desensitized to pornography, haven't we? We've been desensitized to gossip and evil speaking. We find that we've been desensitized to lying and corruption. Bill made mention of such in our government, but folks, it's not just in government, is it? Lying and corruption are in business. Lying and corruption are in our school systems. Lying and corruption are in many places in society today. And yet, we just think, well, that's the way it is. We find two man-made religions. Folks, there's a man-made religion on every corner right here in Atlantic Beach, isn't there? We drive past them, we see them, we talk about them, but how many of us are really disgusted with them? How many of us really look at them and view them as an abomination unto God, or oh, well, that's just another religious group. You see, we've just been desensitized to this stuff. And what about anger and hate? It's almost as if we have a right to be angry and hateful in our society today. You see, we've been desensitized to evil. Jeremiah 6:15 addresses the desensitization of an entire nation. Jeremiah writes the following, were they ashamed when they committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed. Neither did they blush. You see, they'd be desensitized to their evil. The Bible says they committed abominations. What is abomination? That which is disgusting. That which stinks in the nostrils of God. God asked the question, were they ashamed? Did they blush? And the answer was, no. Therefore they shall fall with them that fall. Now notice what God says, at the time that I visit them, they shall be cast away, saith the Lord. Folks, God's not pleased with that. God doesn't look upon it and see it as something that is, well, okay, don't worry about it. He says, oh no, you're going to fall. I'm going to cast you out. Even though you can't blush, even though you're not ashamed, even though you've been desensitized to evil, God is not. You see, when we get desensitized to evil, sin begins to spread like wildfire, doesn't it? And the reason for it is this: we fail to see how evil and how destructive sin really is, don't we? Wouldn't you love for just about an hour to be able to view sin the way God views sin? It would radically alter our perception of what evil is, folks. Do you know that? But see, here's the next problem. We might even begin to believe that sin is good, mightn't we? In fact, there's a lot of individuals who will talk about sinful things and they will almost act as if it is a good thing in our society. Homosexuality is one of those. Well, that's just an alternate lifestyle. Those individuals are nice. They have a right to do whatever they want to in their own bedrooms. We have no right to judge them. It's really not a sin thing. It is really a medical thing. They were born that way. You see, all of these things have been pawned off on society in order to desensitize us, and oftentimes we hear those things and we accept them. The desensitization of our people. How about this one? The third symptom of our society and the blight that we see in society is our division, isn't it? Folks, I want you to know something, that there are individuals in our world who play upon division. Did you know that? Look at the definition of division. Dividing into parts. Disunion, estrangement, alienation. And what's amazing is there are so many different ways that we can be divided in our society, can't we? We can be divided by gender, male and female. We hear it all the time. We can be divided by age. The younger versus the older generations. We've divided that since the 60s at least. Maybe even before then. We've been divided into our finances. The wealthy versus the poor. The haves versus the have-nots. We're divided into race. Black, white, Latino, Asians, Native Americans. We're divided also into our party system as far as our politics are concerned. Democrat, Republic, Libertarian, Socialist. We're divided also by our education. Those who have little education, those who have a lot of education, we're divided by our government. You see, the government looks upon individuals as, we're a part of the elite, we're the ruling class, we're the ones who know what's best for you. You're just the masses. You're just the sheep who need to follow the shepherds. Folks, that's in our politics today. How about this one? We're divided at jobs, aren't we? Management versus employees. We're divided our ideology. That's a huge one, isn't it? We go out and we talk to one another, and you'll find very quickly there's division with regard to all kinds of issues. I've just listed a few of them. Environmentalism, capitalism, globalism, immigration. We're divided in those concepts. And there's also division in religion, isn't there? No religion, man-made religions, world religions. It's unbelievable how much division is within our society today. Now, there's a lot of causes for that division, isn't there? I've just listed 15 causes in this lesson. There may be even more than that. Very quickly, selfishness is a cause of division. Fear is a cause of division. Another, anger divides us oftentimes. Jealousy and envy will divide. Hatred divides. How about this one? Evil speaking one of another brings division among individuals. An intolerance of others. A desire for power. The desire to control and rule over other individuals. brings division, oppression, causes division, threats toward another individual. Folks, you threaten me, guess what? I'm immediately going to rise up in opposition against you, am I not? You see, it divides us. How about this? Violence divides us. Well, you keep going. Lying divides us one from another. The manipulation of one person against another individual. Partiality and injustice. 15 different causes of division within our world today. And I'll bet you I haven't hardly touched the hem of the garment. Folks, as long as there's division, unity will never come to pass. Will it? Never come to pass. Notice also, peace will never ensue. Because there's always going to be this fighting and this warring one against another if there's no unity. Productivity will be hindered as long as there's division. I find this interesting. Satan, when there is division, is the one who is usually winning, is he not? Especially in the body of Christ. And we find this, souls will be lost. When I think about division, there's a lot of verses that come to mind. And I'm only going to mention two of them. One from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. One was written by David in Psalm 133, verse 1. He says this, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." Folks, God designed individuals to be unified with one another. That's what He wanted. Even the entirety of the human race. And yet there's division. There's more likenesses about us than there are differences. And yet individuals highlight the differences to keep us divided, don't they? God says it's good and it's pleasant to have unity. Listen to what Jesus says. This is found in Mark 3, 24 and 25. He says this, "And if a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom shall not stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house shall not stand." Folks, Jesus understood the need for unity, did He not? I find it interesting that He talks about a kingdom and a house when He talks about the need for unity. A kingdom. You see, He could see the kingdoms of the world divided against themselves, warring against themselves. And as long as they're divided, guess what? They cannot stand. And the same is true of houses, and that includes the house of the Almighty God. I've got four more points in this lesson. That's why I had to put off the lesson for next week. We'd be here all night long. We wonder what's wrong. Folks, I doubt that there's very many individuals who can't see what's wrong. If you can't see what's wrong, something's wrong with us, isn't there? You see, we've already talked about disrespect, desensitization, and the division that exists within our society. Again, those are just symptoms. And if I were really to talk to you about the causes, we would have a third lesson in place. Because you see, from a different perspective, we could talk about this. Today we have many hearts that are without God, or they're far, far, far from God, aren't they? Folks, we could talk about the fact that we've rejected the Bible. And the minute we reject the Bible, you tell me where the standard is. Where is it? If there is not a divine standard that rises above me and you as human beings, where is a standard? Who has a right to make that standard? There's nobody. If a standard is going to be made by a human being, then my standard is just as good as your standard. You see, the minute we reject the Scripture, the divine standard, we've got problems, don't we? And we've rejected the holy Word of God in our society. How about this? There's a lack of spirituality. Folks, when I'm talking about spirituality, I'm talking about true spirituality. The Bible talks about being spiritual individuals. I'm not talking about just believing yourself to be spiritual. That's what a lot of people do. Spirituality of them is this: I believe in God and I pray and I have some kind of fabricated relationship with Him. That's spirituality to them, folks. That's not spirituality. Not in the eyes of God. You see, we've rejected true spirituality. We've rejected true relationship with God as found through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. How about this next one? There's a breakdown in our family system. Who created the family? God did. Husband and a wife who bring children into that relationship. And God expects for that relationship to be strong. He expects for that relationship to be maintained and sustained. There are duties, responsibilities, obligations that all in that family have. And if they are not followed, then society will crumble. How about this next one? A lack of teaching. Oh, we teach a lot of stuff today. Folks, it's not teaching about what God wants taught in society, is it? And that's true, sadly, even in many Christian homes. There's also selfishness that is to be blamed, isn't there? I want what I want. I want my needs cared for. I want my group provided for. I'm more important than any others in our society. And folks, because of that, we've got a mess on our hands. And lastly, we find a lack of discipline, don't we? I'm amazed when I see who the courts prosecute and who the courts let go. Aren't you? You can be caught with a $10 bag of marijuana and you can serve months in jail. And you can commit murder and you can plan to murder and you'll be put in prison for a few days and out on bond with $20,000. Now you tell me how that happens in our society. It's amazing to me. You see, there's a lack of discipline. We got problems, don't we? It's not fun to focus on our problems, but we need to recognize them. And folks, the only escape that you and I have from them is the kingdom of God, isn't it? Because it's been similar to this in many civilizations throughout the world. We can just read about them in the pages of God's Word, can't we? If we truly want to escape them, we need to become members of the body of Christ. If you're not one today, we want you to be. The process is simple. You believe in the Christ, you repent of your sins, confess His precious name, and then are immersed into Christ, baptized for the forgiveness of sins. The Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Acts 2:47. Think about that. The very moment you're baptized, you rise and you're a member of the kingdom of God. You've escaped the kingdom of this world. I appreciate Aaron. He's been leading a lot of songs tonight about heaven and the hereafter. And you see, my friends, that's where we're trying to go. You see, our citizenship as Christians is not here. Our citizenship, according to Paul, is in heaven. And that's where our focus needs to be. Dear Christian, I want to ask you a question. If you died tonight, would you go to heaven? You see, even as a Christian, we can be lost, can't we? Maybe you're far from God, you've wandered away, you've been involved in sin. Do you need to repent and ask God to forgive you? Won't you come as together we stand and sing?